And we are back here once again with another episode of the Iron Man Podcast, episode 356 with Mr. Chris Faction. And nice to meet you, man. How are you doing?
What's up, dude? What's up, man? I've been making the rounds, the YouTube rounds, and it's been so much fun. You know, I'm getting to meet all these new people and promote my comic book. And yeah, man, it's been a blast. This space is just, I mean, it's creators. That's what we do. We're imagining things and having fun bringing them to life.
Yes. And for anyone who is going to be watching this episode on the podcasting platforms, if you do not have a chance to catch the show live, you can also watch the show on the podcasting platform. So whether or not you're commuting back and forth from work, at the gym, banging your wife, or you just need to listen to something, you know, while you're doing anything else, you can watch and listen to us basically talk about whatever. I'll have to work on the podcasting intro stuff later on. But as you guys know, I have several videos coming out very soon. Channel update video, podcast schedule video. Before I do those, I will make sure I do my Akira Toriyama, you know, thank you video. I initially wasn't really going to do it because I had did those before and I almost like choked up during the video. I don't even cry. I'm not a person that cries. I think crying is fucking pathetic. But when you talk about something that is so influential in your life that hard, you just can't help but get emotional. But I do want to say, for those of you guys who are listeners of the show, we're going to be doing a big Dragon Ball Z celebration of Mr. Akira Toriyama tomorrow on March 9th, 5:30 PST, going over the best Dragon Ball Z moments, Dragon Ball, all the best lines of dialogue, movies, everything. Because as you know, someone like that was very influential in our lives. So, you know, might as well celebrate GOATs, actually. We'll do those for others, too. I haven't had a chance to do them because I've been so freaking busy. As you know, I imagine you have a family, so probably just so freaking busy. Like, you can't even breathe some days, actually. You're like, well, now I only have 2 hours of free time left after my day's over, after work.
Yeah, pretty much. So my daughter, she actually just got back a week ago from Germany. She spent 3 months over there. It's where her mom lives. And it was 3 months of me all by myself. And that was actually worse. And now that she's home, it is freaking awesome. And I get to love spending time with my kiddos and everything. And I came home today and her boyfriend's in town and I took them out to dinner and had a good time. And yeah, man, it's been great.
I'll say, you know, congratulations on all your success. You know, like a lot of parents, you know, given how the world is crazy, don't really get to see their kid grow up the way yours has grown up. You know, a lot of bad things end up happening to a lot of people. So, you know, like, did you ever have this feeling when you graduated high school a long time ago or maybe graduated college where you were in a routine for so long that when it was over, you didn't really feel like you had any, like, purpose or anything? I had that after I finished high school. Like, I was like, man, I've been doing that nearly half my life. Now, I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do, honestly.
That's what it felt like getting out of the Army. It was.
Oh, you're in the Army. Okay.
Yeah. So, like, a lot of guys go through that. You're so spun around because you have such a regimented life when you're in the military. You know when to wake up, you know when to eat, everything is, you know, planned out for you and all that. And then you get out and you're like, what do I do now? And yeah, it took me a minute to readjust to civilian life, but you know, I like you do, you bounce back and you get rolling. And, I got out of the Army in 2016, I spent 6 months kind of chilling, you know, figuring out like, hey, where am I going to go? Where am I going to live? You know? And then I ended up coming back to my hometown and got a job, and I've been working at that same job since, you know, and then was like, you know what? I'm going to make a comic book.
Well, let's start here. Since all superheroes have origin stories, how was your life growing up before you joined the Army, actually?
I grew up in Central Texas in Waco.
So you're a Dallas Cowboys fan?
I'm actually not too much into sports. I've always been, you know, like a sci-fi, you know, comic nerd type thing, you know, but we them boys, you know, so.
Yeah, no, to me, yeah. No, I was the nerd that, like, I could talk about sports. I could talk about, like, with sports, I was always more like a in their hardcore casual. It's weird. I'm only, like, kind of hardcore into the teams that I like, but everything else I'm kind of just casual with. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 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 mm-hmm. Yeah.
But no, with, like, all this stuff, like movie, TV, anime, comic books, manga, I'm like an encyclopedia of knowledge. I've been alive so long, dude, at this point where I remember when things started and all the narratives, all the things that ended up happening. I remember when the newest stuff dropped. Like, people can understand, like, just what comes to, like, TV shows or, like, all, like, anime or whatever. Like, anime even more than TV. Anime, you had to literally wait till the newest episodes dropped because, like, the internet really wasn't as evolved as the way it is now. There wasn't streaming services to binge things off of. Like, they barely even had that stuff on DVDs. That the whole, like, DVD buying a collected anime didn't come out to, like, 2007, 2008.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, when people say certain things about certain arcs of certain shows, I'm like, hey, I can understand your point of view because you were able to just binge this all the way through. But I have a much different outlook on certain things because of, like, I had to sit there and wait for it, you know? So if there was a long drawn out arc in any TV show, we had to sit there and watch that shit. So if you had an arc that meant, like, nothing, we were waiting week to week to let this shit blow out, you know?
Yeah. That's what, like, I was talking to somebody the other day about this same thing. We were talking about when Nightfall came out with Batman you know, Chuck Dixon and Graham Nolan, and how, like, every month you would finish that book and you would just, like, you could not wait because you only got one book a month. You know, now kid can go down to the local Barnes and Noble. You don't even have to go to a comic book shop. You're going to find Nightfall on the shelf.
You could literally go on Amazon, get the Nightfall when he's breaking his back on the cover art.
Yeah.
Paperback for, like, $20 now, all collected issues. The first arc of that story. Yeah. Crazy, right, man. Right.
Yeah. It's nuts. And then, like growing up with, because the 90s was filled with the best comic book animated shows. Mm. I mean, you got Batman, the animated series, you got X-Men, Spider-Man, even the shows that, like, there was a Hulk series that only got like 13 episodes. And it was dope, you know, but you would get an episode a week per season, and then they would rerun the entire season before the next season came out. So it was like a lot of these, when I go back and watch them, I almost know them word for word because I watched them so many times because they were rerun over and over again in my childhood, you know? It's so much different than, you know, today's media where you can just binge it. And I think it's better. I think we retained it more than binge watching. Like, think about when the Daredevil Netflix series came out in 2015, right? You know, that was like, I remember I binged the whole thing in one day. Like, I was still in the army, living in nasty barracks, you know, and was just like, this is the best thing in the world, this is my calm, this is my peace, I'm gonna watch Daredevil. I had to watch the entire show probably four times before it really, like, stuck, because it's a different form. Binging is a different format, you know, and your brain handles it differently, whereas, like, if you watch an episode and it's got to soak in for a week before you get the next episode, you know, you retain a lot more of the detail and the nuance in the episodes.
Yeah. Like, people had this discussion that came up recently. It was a few years back when the Disney Plus shows came out and they were dropping the episodes weekly, and people were discovering that when you have to sit there and wait for it and you have to consume it on that time, you tend to have a very different reaction to something where if you just binged it, you know?
Yeah.
People were like, well, Netflix's model, you could just dump it and people will just watch it. Well, there's fundamental problems to both. I think the weekly model is still overall stronger in terms of like keeping whatever you just watched in the conversation more, because if you binge a show and like Netflix or whatever streaming service just drops it, mm-hmm. it's out of the conversation though. Like that's the big problem is, yeah, like anyone can go and binge it. The problem here is all those binge shows that people are talking about, a lot of those shows just fly out of the conversation. Like, no one talks about, like, Squid Game like that. People don't even, like, the One Piece live action show came out, like, last year. No one's really talking about it anymore, you know, at least in certain series that I'm thinking about. Or just in general, like, you go to, like, social media feeds, like, this stuff is just out of the conversation, you know?
Yeah.
But the problem with waiting for a show week to week is like, well, if you have a really long drawing arc that doesn't do anything and it's not anything really happening, well, then a lot of people might just like quit a show because they're like, well, why am I sitting here watching this then? You know, mm-hmm. I think there's pros and cons to both, but I think the other one kind of edges it all ever so slightly because at least you're still talking about the show because you were invested in making time to watch it, you know?
Yes. I think you know, everything now is like, I want it now, give it to me. You know, you got this kind of TikTok instant gratification, you know, generation. They're used to getting their content like boom, boom, boom on demand and all that. And that's why I really like the indie comic space, because although there is a wealth of creators and product out there, you know, I mean, there's fantastic stories, but there's no such thing as monthlies in the indie space, because we're paying attention to quality in both storytelling and art wise, you know, and you're going to get a better product. It's going to be longer than your traditional floppy, and it's going to take a little bit longer. You know, I mean, you may only get one issue a year or maybe two a year, but we're going to make sure that we put our heart and soul into it and that you're getting the best that we can put out.
I think, because for me, how I really dug into the indie comic scene, like a lot of other people, because I'm someone who just admit things to people. I don't have to like fake that. I was always here. Only for certain things, I'll be like, I was always here. So like when Eric July put out his whole Ripaverse comic book company back in what, July 2022. That's crazy. It's only been a couple years and he's already this far.
I know.
A lot of these like other indies started popping up, and I was like, wait a minute. For comic book industry stuff, there's my like journey through it is a little bit weird for some of the people. So like the whole indie scene, I thought that anything that came to indie, most people just pushed through like Image Comics. Because I knew Image Comics was kind of the place for that.
Yes.
But then I realized, wait a minute, that also still has the barriers of like someone hiring you on a title and like all this other stuff. Later on, I found it out. So there was this one guy where I remember who he was. He has this like, I think his name is like Guilty Bears or some shit on Twitter. I remember seeing his and I was like, that's kind of cool. Like discovering like Eric's company starting the Ripaverse opened my eyes to like so much of this other stuff happening. And then I would say I've learned quite a bit about all this stuff. Like I would say learning about how indie comics are made and how they work compared to like the mainstream stuff really opens your eyes on like how much dedication goes into this, you know. And I could understand why there's a lot of like infighting, because there's so much passion behind it. There's a lot of money being sank into it, but a lot of people got to understand, even with indie comics, I'll say oversaturated, but kind of is when it comes to like everyone's trying to get a piece of a pie, a piece of someone else's pie and all other stuff, you know. And someone like you, well, you're doing it all out of pocket for the most part. Artists, lettering, all that stuff. There's I didn't know there was this much stuff that took to make a comic book before I learned what indie comics was and everything that, you know, came with it. And you look at all these people now and it's like, god damn, I feel for people sometimes when their campaigns don't hit a certain number, you know, because like when you're charging like $30 for a book, like if you back three campaigns and they're like $25 to $30, that's like almost $100 right there. Just campaigns,
exactly.
You know,
and that's the thing. You know, I mean, I tell people like I've had to pull back on the books that I back because I understand I have a family. I got to prioritize eggs over
bills first.
Books.
You're right. Exactly. Always bills first. Yeah.
And I I completely understand. And I'm not asking anyone to back me unless, you know, you absolutely have the means to do it and everything. Because, you know, I get what I'm asking a backer and what any creator is asking a backer is to believe in me, you know. And so my job is to show you what I got. And then say, you know, hey, I'm going to put this in your hands. Believe in me, you know, and if you can't back, if you're not in that position to back, man, I got no problem with that. Could you please share it? You know, could you please
a retweet?
You know, right. You know, something like that.
A quote tweet, you know, saying it, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, I get it. It's not money, but just you potentially quote tweeting. One of your mutuals might be like, hey, yo, I like this guy. I'm a back. You never know what'll happen. Like, I remember I got some of my biggest, like, supporters from when one of my friends, YJ Paisano, someone I know for a while on YouTube, put me on his channel. And a lot of people were like, oh, I like this guy. I'm going to come over here. You know, just having that. I didn't get money out of these people. Just shown this type of thing, given how social media works, you know, just you never know. Honestly, someone quote tweeting it might hit a bigger person. They might be like, oh, I like this guy. You know, this guy's doing good work, you know? And another thing when it comes to indie comics is there's so much stuff like this, because if you don't have any like idea of like art, lettering, you might be just a writer. Like, people don't understand that campaign number. So I know some campaign numbers might be like 8K, 9K, 5K, whatever. I'm not saying that number looks impressive when it's made, but a lot of that gets eaten up by printing costs, paying other people involved, and shipping it to you. You know.
So this is my very first book, and I dove in head first. But
hell yeah, that's how you do it,
right? Exactly. what I did was I talked to people that either had. They were working on their first book, or they were funding their first book, or had just fulfilled their first book. Because I'm not going to go ask, you know, a Shane Davis or whatever, because he's doing six-figure campaigns and he's so far ahead. He's looking at way different problems than what I'm looking at as a first-time creator. So I want to talk to people that are first-time creators, you know, or maybe second time creators, and I want to learn the ropes. So, you know, that's kind of how I started. And I will say, like, the pros and cons to this space and the crowdfunding model or whatever is, you know, the pros is the community is very, very supportive. I mean, like, we're all backing each other's books, you know, or at least trying to. And if we can't, we're throwing them out there. We're helping promote. We're asking each other questions. You know, we're shooting each other DMs. You know, hey, man, you know, can you help me out with this? Can you help me out with that? There's always someone that has an answer. The cons are, I would say, okay, so for instance, you'll see a lot of guys, you'll notice that their funding goal is like low, you know, like $500, mine is $1,500. I can tell you straight up, it costs way more than $1,500 to make one book.
I know,
you know,
it's a lot of people don't, that's the thing. When people are going to watch this, because people are like, how do you know? I know, because people have told me, and I talked to so many different people that, you know, like, how to say this to people, there's a reason why when certain numbers of certain campaigns don't hit, you know what that means? Out of pocket, you got to pull that out.
Yes. You know? And you know, that's the thing is what it is from what I've learned is you put that number like mine is to cover my printing cost. And I hope that I will be able to print with that amount. I will be able to print the amount of books that I need to sell just to break even. If I want to print any more, I'm going to have to go out of pocket more, you know? And as a first time creator, that's a lot of pressure. I'm not going to say it's scary, because the thing is like, you know what the risk is. You know the risk you're taking. And, you know, like, I mean, come on, man. I'm a military vet. This ain't scary. but it can be very stressful because, you know, like, I wanted to make sure that this book was complete before the campaign was done. So we've been working on this book since May, and the only thing left right now is just final edits. The letter is going through, making sure the bubbles are all clean. We're looking for spelling errors. And then the editor is going to give it a once over, and then it's done. It goes to the printer. You know, actually I got an email from the printer today. They're going to be ready for the book by the end of next week. So like, I plan on having the books printed and at Critical Blast Fulfillment Center as soon as possible. My goal is to actually have it in their warehouse the week before the campaign ends, so that they can start fulfillment the Monday after the campaign ends, because I want to get my books out. And it's really important to me to not abuse the crowdfunding system. I think there are a lot of creators out there that abuse the crowdfunding system. And that's why you hear all this, you know, these people, oh, late books, or I never got my book. There are a lot out there, you know, that, like, I mean, you know, or there are books that, you know, I've backed in like 2 years ago, still waiting, you know, and I'm not trying to be that guy. You know, I wanted to do it as right as I could, because I actually,
yeah,
I care about my backers and my customers. You know, I want to give them a positive experience.
And that's the thing, though, is, you know, the number one thing in comics, right? The whole, like, when you have a book or whatever, for any title, for any character, whatever, the number one thing, which is basically most people in general are going to be supportive of anything number one.
Yes.
And right after that, if they feel like they didn't get what they paid for, they didn't like the experience of backing, they will not be back for the second, third, fourth, fifth issues you may or may not be planning on doing, if whatever series you might do after that, you know? Because for anyone who doesn't know this, in comic books, there is a reason why number ones always sell very well. It's the start. It's the very beginning of something. There's a reason why you always see Marvel, which is more notorious than this in DC, and I'll say that. Marvel's always bouncing back to number ones. It's a lot of variant covers and all that stuff because people want to get in the start of something, you know? And it's even bigger for indie comic creators, because not only are the customers not really getting their book right when they buy it, because, you know, because through other, like, Marvel, DC, other companies, they just have a lot of stuff shipped through, like, their websites to people to fulfill that. They can get it to you quicker. With you and other people like yourself, I backed a campaign. I got to wait, like, 6 to 8 months. Then, you know, used to kind of, since so much can happen in life and day to day, hour to hour, minute to minute, you could have easily forgotten if you backed that book. And then by that point, you know, let's say you go on a year and it's not there, you're like, wait, you look at your finances, you're like, I bought that. I didn't get that. There's so many things, right? Yes. And if people don't feel like they don't get the book in a timely fashion, they're going to feel like it's not worth it, you know?
Well, and I can tell, this is what I'm going out here to, because I'm looking at the entire landscape. I'm going, okay, so I would say that as far as how to run a crowdfunding campaign, I look to Graham Nolan as my go-to or whatever. Matter of fact, I'm sitting here in front of two of his books, old Joe Frankenstein, him and Chuck Dixon. And then as far as outside of crowdfunding, like pre-order, you know, looking at Rippa and what he's done. And I like both. I like the way both are done. You know, both of them are very, they stick to their deadlines, you know, and I think that that's very, very important. And, you know, keeping yourself honest, you know, in that way, by setting those deadlines and saying, I absolutely will meet them. Now, what I'm doing, I'm low guy on the totem pole. I have to start out crowdfunding, you know, but I need to build up the capital, because I would like to eventually get to a pre-order model, because I feel like that's a signal to the customer that it is a safer buy, you know, where, because there have been a lot of people that got burned on crowdfunding. Now I know that if I back a book by Graham Nolan, I'm going to get that book, you know, I, for sure, you know, he's trustworthy. He's already shown that, you know, like you're always going to get that book. But the thing I'm noticing is that there are a lot of customers that are saying, man, I don't like this crowdfunding model. It takes too long. You know, I'm going to go support somebody like Rippa because I know he's going to have a 75-day pre-order campaign and they're going to start shipping 30 days after the campaign starts, you know, and that sounds like a safer bet. I would like to get to a similar point, you know, but like I said, you got to build the brand. I got to get the book in people's hands. I guarantee if you are a sci-fi fan, you're going to love this book. I'm not tooting my own horn. Like I got an amazing artist. I have one of the former colorists for G.I. Joe, and I have one of the former writers of Savage Hawkman as my editor. And so, you know, these guys, like, they know what they're doing. My colorist gave me one of the greatest compliments I've had on this project. And he said, I love this book for the action. The dude that used to color G.I. Joe told me he liked my book for the action. That is one hell of a compliment. Mark Poulton, my editor, told me that it reminds him of old school Malibu Comics X-Mutants. Oh my goodness. You know, you're like, okay, I'm on the right path. Like, and I'm not the kind of guy that's going to get a big head about it. I'm going to be like, okay, so you know what? I'm going to go back. I'm going to read some of that X-Mutants. I want to, you know, and everything. I'm going to read some of that old G.I. Joe. I'm going to grab some ideas and everything. You know, if I'm doing good on the action, if I'm doing good on the storytelling, like I need to do my research because I've got more scripts to write. I've got more books to make. You know, and so far with this book, I have 5 issues written, one shot, and I'm about 2/3 of the way through issue number 6, writing issue number 6. So, you know, I'm grinding away.
Oh, because the thing you brought up there, which is very important, versus crowdfunding versus having your own model of doing things. Mm-hmm. So I think the biggest people in the space that I know that drive the most sales outside of crowdfunding is they have a crowdfunder for the newest project, but they'll have their own website to sell their own stuff. Because having a website, I know people hate that word legitimate. To average people, that makes you look legitimate. So you kind of need like a perceived level of legitimacy to people. That way they can give you their money because you can have a crowdfunder on the side. But if someone's like, I don't really like that. Well, if you have your own website, and I know you're probably going to order extra books to have for a website, they're going to be like, well, I don't like crowdfunding. Do you have the book I can buy? They'll be like, yeah, buy through my website. Or they could just PayPal you the money. You send it to them. That right there is another way of being flexible and, I would say, diverse to a point where you're giving the customers more options, actually. Mm-hmm. I know a guy, I'm pretty sure you know him, he does the Remnant universe, Grok.
Grok.
Yeah, Bill Rop, right? He does crowdfunders. I backed Distant Thunder, got that. I was able to go on his website, buy the books that I wanted. Got the best of both worlds, actually, you know?
Exactly. I had backed a few of his books, but I had never read any of the Parables stuff, and he's got a package on there where you can get the whole Parables series, you know.
Beautiful. Yeah. I mean, I think he has the best way of kind of navigating the indie comic scene space. Definitely Eric Weathers. Outside of like Eric, because he's like at the top to a certain extent.
Right.
Him and Eric Weathers, I think they have the best. Those guys absolutely kill it. I think Rini has a really good looking website too.
Yeah.
Project Noasis, he has a good one too. I can definitely vouch for him. Like that.
Yeah.
I'll tell people, for me, if for any comic creator out there, you have your own website, you just buy your book from, so much more easier. Also, yep. Mindy Wheeler, who does Divinity Comics, she had a she's the boob lady.
Yeah, yeah, she did boobs.
Yeah, I told her, give me a gangbang variant, and I will definitely buy that. Actually,
There you go.
I told people, hey, any other indie comic creators out there? Because I like to function as someone who's like, you know, like do my casual customer stuff. But I always tell people, hey, this is what I would do if I would buy your book. If I wasn't in crowdfunding, like, hey, if you have your own shit, I could just go to your website, buy your book, you just ship it to me.
Yes. You know? Yes. And that's honestly like, that is where I want to be, you know, like, I mean, I'm 91% funded right now, you know, my plan, I'm doing things a little different. I've actually had my fellow crowdfunders, you know, be like, you're an idiot. Don't do it that way or whatever. And that's fine. My very first, yeah, I started on Fund My Comic. I decided not to do a sign up. A lot of people warned me against that. They said, you know, oh, you have to do a sign up. You have to do a sign up. I kept asking people. I was like, wait a minute. Do you actually, when you sign up for a book, where do you pay attention to the email? Do you link it in there? You know, and it was about,
it really just depends, honestly.
Yeah, it was about 50-50. Yeah. If it was a, if it, it like when Graveyard Shift dropped a few weeks ago, volume 5, like I was waiting for that email because I knew exactly, yeah. Like, you know, but some guy who it's his first book, you don't know who he is. You know, honestly, like, why would I waste my time on a sign up when, you know, I can get the book out there. I can start like a freight train. I can, you know, just slowly get going. And any problems that come up because I'm a slow mover in the beginning, I'm learning as I go, you know, then I can solve those problems super fast. You know, anytime any of those challenges that get in the way, all right, cool. And then as I pick up momentum, you know, all right, cool. Like now we're moving. After this Fund My Comic campaign, I'm gonna jump over to Kickstarter and I'm gonna start. I'm actually looking at a different audience because you know how these audiences are.
You got comics, and you got all this
and. And some of them don't get along and some of them do. And, you know, I don't care about any of that. I just want to make comic books. And I like what I like. You like what you like.
Yeah. There's no reason. That's another guy that delivers his books. I have him on, Nick Garber. He does Apogee Comics, actually. These guys, if anyone doesn't know this, they make a decent amount of money. I can't say the number, actually. I don't know myself. But I'm pretty sure they make a decent amount of number through their website. Because you know why, guys? They get their stuff done on time. They get things done, and their customers know they're getting their product. That's all you got to do. All you have to prove to your customers is you're going to get the product on time or on relative time compared to, like, you know, when you have a campaign going or whatever, and that you are someone who's dedicated to your craft and you just trying to get all the business stuff done. Because, you know, when someone thinks of the word indie, they think of the word, like, not the actual definition of it. It's more like non-structure. You know, and whenever I thought of indie, I thought it was just some jank shit. Actually, you know, because I was always looking at perceived established structures, you know, as like what structure is. And I told people, hey, why not like take some of their ideas over here? You know, great minds think alike. You know, even if I disagree with someone, they have a great idea. I'm not shooting it down. I'll be like, okay, I don't like you, but that's a really good fucking idea here. As long as this scene establishes, you know, some level of structure to it where people can feel like they're going to get a good product on time. Mm-hmm. That is going to just guarantee you repeat backers on your products. Now, the thing is, you know, if you are like always constantly on social media and people can see you're probably not doing your work or they think you're not doing your work, might have an impact on how people think about you, you know?
But, yeah. No, I completely agree.
It's one of those things where, you know, I'm just talking from a customer. I mean, you know, I'm also a customer. I also do this. Also, you know, buy books pretty consistently. Like, I love how someone's like, you don't buy books. I literally have videos of myself opening this stuff on my channel. This is the next indie book I'm going to review. It's from Nick, Phoenix Press. This is Screecher number 2. I have to clip out the Screecher number 1 review and upload it to Screecher 2. We're going to be reviewing on Sunday Funday. Then, obviously, people are like, you do mainstream titles. I do mainstream titles. So this is the mainstream stuff that I just recently got that I'm going to review. Ultimate Spider-Man number 2, Power Rangers return, Superman Action Comics stuff, and all the people kept talking about the new Duke line from G.I. Joe. I was never someone that was really into G.I. Joe, but people kept talking about it so much, and I was like, okay, I'll get into it.
Everybody keeps telling me. So originally, one of my co-hosts on my show, The Friday Nights, he had gotten that first issue of Transformers that Sky put out. And he was like, guys, this is really, really good. I took a gamble, and I really like this. I'm going to keep getting it. And I was like, okay, look, I've been burned by mainstream so much. I'm going to wait for the trade, the first trade. But at this point, I keep hearing about Duke, Transformers, G.I. Joe, this Cobra Commander book, all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to have to make a trip up to my local shop and go snatch those up, because everybody seems to be raving about them. And I've seen some of the panels from these books, and they look really good. And I'm like, okay, I'm down.
Oh, and the other thing you brought up there, which is I was looking at it too. So on LeagueOfComicsGeeks.com, they showed it, and I was like, ooh, okay. I was never into Transformer comics ever. I'll be honest. Like, there's a lot of properties that I like TMNT, Transformers, and G.I. Joe. I'll be honest here, checking out the comics was never on my radar, you know? Then I kind of heard about Last Ronin, which I bought. I had to go review it and read it and review it eventually. And I told people, hey, because I know there are people that are huge Transformer fans. Me, I was a fan of the cartoons. I was not really a fan of the movies. They exist, let's just say that. And I was like, hey guys, the new Transformer book is dropping. Number one, get in early. I was just so surprised that people liked it. I was like, I read the description of it, and I was like, that sounds pretty fucking good, honestly. But I was like, yeah. But you never know. You know, people have been burned so much. The description might sound good, but in theory, when you flip through the pages, read the dialogue. And I'm actually so glad that universe ended up popping off, man, because it shows that if you write a good story and word of mouth spreads that it's good, it's something you want to get into, people will show up. The strongest thing about a comic book, like with anything now, even more than ever, even from back then, word of mouth. Word of mouth spreads so hard about the Transformers universe, the G.I. Joe universe going on with, you know, the G.I. Joe team. You have the Cobra Commander title. You have the Duke title going on. They announced the Scarlet title by Kelly Thompson, so I don't know how well it's going to go. But people from word of mouth are buying it. I went on eBay just yesterday to buy Duke number 2, because I told you I have Duke number 1 right there. Still selling. Still selling. These
fantastic.
I'm so glad that people in the industry that aren't fucking talking out their buttholes about pronouns and trans kids and all that gay shit, but just out there just trying to put out good work, being like, I'm not doing that. I'm just going to hear good work. There you go. I don't even care if they're leftist. I don't care. I'm not here for your politics. I don't care.
Jack Kirby was a lefty.
Yes.
And nobody knew it, because he's just writing a story. He knew politics have no place in storytelling, because storytelling is universal. Stories have been told since before politics existed. So like, you tell a good story. That's it. That's what you focus on, you know. And a lot of those old, you know, the OGs, they were lefties. Now, you know, things have evolved over the years. I wouldn't say that Jack Kirby is like, you know, some wine mom Karen that's, you know, named her child, you know, space rocket demon, you know, and all this crazy shit going on now. But yeah, I mean, it's still the same thing. Like, we had no idea what their politics were.
Or you just use a recent example. Akira Toriyama, rest in peace, just passed away. Mm-hmm. No one knows what his politics are at all. No one knows him at all. No, I don't know what he believes. I don't know. Yeah. Probably based off some Japanese mythology. Most of it is kind of based off like historical Japanese figures. But
I don't know.
I don't know what he fucking believes political-wise. No one cares. Like, most people, I'll say most guys are politically neutral. They don't really care. It's only when they start making it an apparent thing in front of you, that's when people start, you know, reacting to it, talking about it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
It's fucking ridiculous, man. Like, I told people the other day, I don't really care what your politics are, but if you start talking about what you believe, then I will be like, nah, I'm good. I'm okay. You know?
Right. Exactly. You know, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, like, the saying used to be actions speak louder than words, and that still rings true. Sure. But, yeah. But like in the age of social media, words are there. There are more words than actions. So, you know, like a lot of times, you know, you'll see these crazy rants, you know, like what's his name? Ta-Nehisi Coates oh man, what's that?
You have Mark Wade giving his constant meltdowns.
Oh, good Lord. Did you not see
the? So you know the one about the alt-right thing he said a while ago? Mm-hmm. He doubled down on it recently. I just watched it yesterday. Oh my God, this guy's a crackhead. Like legitimately a crackhead. And then suddenly in his thing that he was talking, he was getting interviewed by another YouTuber who also said he was a liberal, but I understand he was just doing his thing. He literally mentioned the fact that, you know, the market spoke. In some sense, that's what he meant, right? Yeah.
Right.
The market spoke, and they're like, I don't want that. Put it back the way it was. And he was talking about people being sore winners. No one's a sore winner. Because he was talking about people that didn't want, like, gay lesbian characters. You know, because he mentioned that Marvel swapped out Thor and Captain America and Iron Man for those characters. And, like, well, people didn't respond to it. Yes, Mark. No shit, people didn't respond to it. Like, that's not a bad thing. People were like, I don't like that. Give me my real shit. You know, I don't want these imitation characters.
Can you imagine? Like, this is the absurdity of of that side of the aisle. Can you imagine 3,500 years ago? You know, you're in ancient Greece. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're listening to stories about Hercules. And then you go to... you know, some small village somewhere, and they start telling you the story about Herculea, and it, like, everybody would be like, yeah, let's burn this town to the ground. They went wrong. You know, I mean, that's the absurdity of it. It really is. It's like never in history has it been okay to do these kind of swaps. You know, where you swap, like, I mean, like, when even like race swaps or whatever, essentially what you're doing as a storyteller, when you do a race swap and you change someone's, you're changing their background, you're changing their ancestry, their history, where they come from, you know? And it's not just, oh, we changed the color of their skin for representation's sake or what. But the thing is, since they don't know how to write characters and they just say, you know, well, you know, like we made Wally West black or whatever. And then they just like they go off of just that. And, you know,
he mentioned something similar to that. He mentioned something similar to that in along the lines of if people picked up a comic of something. I mean, he mentioned a few characters and they're like, they expect to see Jon Stewart or Hal Jordan is going to. Yes, Mark, when people pick up Green Lantern comics, they probably assume they want to read Hal Jordan or Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if they're men or black or whatever. People like those characters for whatever fucking reason they like them. Now, if you swap them with gay lesbians, they're probably not going to like that. You want to know why? It's not because they hate gay people. That they're not who those characters were. You just, like, that is like your wife giving you a fucking blowjob every single time you came home from work. And one day she was like, you know what? I'm going to give a blowjob to your brother because his dick is bigger. And you're going to be like, wait, what the fuck?
Right?
Yeah, you'd probably be pretty fucking mad about that. that's what literally happened. They told you, hey, I know you like these guys. Yeah, but here's this more modern version. I don't want them. Their fucking sexuality. Well, and that's the sexuality stuff is just icing on the cake. No one cares about that. They're just not interesting characters.
Everybody kept saying, look, if you want these things in your books, create new characters. Create new characters.
They didn't even say they hated gay people. All they said was just, if you want to do that, cool. Just make new characters like that.
Yep.
And that's so hard.
And the thing is what's crazy is like, instead of like, okay, you already have characters that are, you know, diverse by your standards, you know, like you could just put Luke Cage at the forefront of Marvel and be like, we are going to double down on Luke Cage or whatever. But instead they're like, you know, hey, we're gonna make so and so black, we're gonna make so and so a woman, you know, like all this crazy stuff when it's like, do you literally have Luke Cage and Misty Knight that you could just hoist? And with the popularity that they had from the Netflix shows at the time when all this started kind of, you know, getting going, like that would have been the smart move. But no, they were like, we're shelving them because they're not the kind of black people we like. You know, and it's like, well, that's, you know, that's actually worse, right? Like, you know, it's ridiculous, ridiculous.
Like, oh, like, it's that so hard to be like, hey, I don't like this. Like, that's what was the crazy thing about Eric July that always blew my mind with people when they brought up like criticism is they're like, he attacked Marvel and DC. Okay, so first of all, if you feel like you're attacking the internet, you need to get off the fucking internet, go outside and touch grass for the most part. Get attacked on the internet. It's so fucking pathetic. Fucking pussy ass losers. So are we not allowed to buy comics with our own hard earned money? I'm not allowed to say I don't like this. Because that's what most people are talking about. Because most people are talking about the actual points brought up. They're talking about, oh, well, he attacked Marvel and DC. What was exactly said? Then what they usually bring up is like, he attacked these characters. Oh, the characters for comics he bought with his own money and didn't like. Well, you're not allowed to do that? You're allowed to do it with anything in life. If I bought a microphone and I didn't like it, I can say why I didn't like that microphone. I'm not attacking HyperX because I don't like their fucking certain line of microphones. You know, it's so stupid. What, like, is that? That's, you know, who that is? That is deflection. That is not, that is people who can't who they purposely don't understand what you're talking about purposely. They know what you're saying.
Yeah.
They try and route you into another argument to something that means nothing. They're trying to take you from an actual argument of substance and bring you to a nothing burger. Because these people, what I figure out, don't buy books. They don't even know what the fuck's going on in these comic books. I do. I buy them constantly. I buy every form of comic book known to man. Actually, I know what's going on in a lot of these stories. But the people that bring up are like, you don't like these gay characters. You don't, yourself, not you, obviously. You don't even buy them. Why do you care? You don't even buy books. That's the thing. People who don't even invest their own money into this
exactly.
have the biggest thing to say. I'm like, if you're this passionate, damn, start buying comics.
Exactly, exactly.
You can make the industry blow up with money, actually, then. If you're that passionate, put your money where your mouth is. Go buy the books. Review them yourself. Tell me if they're good. You never see that. You never see that because they're liars. They're just fake. They're posers, dude. These people actually don't like books. They're just liars. They're just here for the drama. That's really all it is.
They grew up watching the MCU. They grew up watching Young Justice, pretty much anything that came out after 2005 is you know the media that they were watching, and they think that means they know all about these characters that have 70, 80, and almost 100 years of history. They think because they watched Iron Man, they know. You know, like, oh man, I watched all of the MCU. I know. How many times did you hear someone talk about, I like that comic book Infinity War? What? Come on now.
Yeah, these are the people that would like, this is how you can tell they're tourists. It's easy tourist stuff. I was a tourist before too, but you know what happened? I actually went and learned about a lot of these stories. Read a good amount of them. Now, I'll tell you this before. I didn't grow up with comic books, technically. I had some of them in my life. I grew up, I think the very first comic I technically ever owned was that, remember that Marvel Encyclopedia about Spider-Man? He had this pose where he was hanging like this. Yeah, so I learned all about villains there. And I got other comics throughout my life because it was my mom had a newspaper subscription. So we got like Spider-Man comics every Friday. Mm-hmm. So those big Spider-Man encyclopedias, so I kind of figured out. More about Spider-Man. And then after that, I didn't have money. So I had to kind of go and look up on websites about what these characters' history were, main story arcs, all this stuff. And then by the time I could get an actual job, I started buying comics then. You know, so I had to learn these characters' histories. Like, you know, I admit this, wiki pages, YouTube videos, because I just didn't have any money. I can't buy any books if I have no money. It's pretty simple there, right? So when I did have money, started learning about all the stuff even more, because, you know, I tried to evolve my knowledge in these characters and stuff like that. It goes to show you just how many people will say certain things like this. They'll be like, in the comic books, this happened. Okay, Yes, you're not wrong. That did happen. Now, contextually, tell me why that happened.
Yes.
That's the thing, though. With Black Panther, I'm pretty sure you saw this argument. You know, people say, well, sure, is Black Panther the comic books? Yes, she is. But in that story, T'Challa's not dead. You see how much context people leave out of stuff because you can tell they're a tourist? A lot of people bring up, well, this happened in the comics. If you do not tell me the context surrounding that decision, what you just said there means nothing. It's just that's literally a nothing burger. Like, yeah, in the comics, Batman fucking leaps off of rooftops. Yeah, that's in the comics too. Gonna tell me why he was doing it in that specific moment, in that specific time frame. You know, when those follow-up questions come, you get nothing. Because you realize people are full of shit. They never read the story and they don't care. They're just drama farming. They just want to tell you bullshit to try and route you away from something that doesn't exist in their minds. Because people, they don't spend money on this book, dude. At all.
Exactly. You know, and the thing is like, occasionally, and this has happened to me before. I have come across, somebody that is actually a fan of what they've done with comics, and you know, and would be, you know, because they're ideologically in the same space, and they have been reading comics for a long time. I can actually respect someone like that. I can disagree with them. I can say, man, I think that they've changed.
That I can respect. Someone who's put their money where their mouth has been, like, hey, I don't think it's that bad. That I can respect.
Yep.
You know?
Yep, exactly. But the thing is that's less than 1% of the people screaming and yelling about, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion in comics and all this bullshit. Because, you know, like, you're right. They don't have the capital to be collecting comic books. I mean, for real, most of these people smell like patchouli and Cheetos, you know, and the patchouli is the natural.
Most of these dudes are literally at their at their fucking computer with Mountain Dew eating Doritos or some shit.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Like it's some of the things that, cause I know those tactics. Cause I used to be that guy, you know, I know all those tactics. No one can pull them over my head. Cause I've seen them all. I've heard all the arguments, you know, like, oh my goodness. Like, you'll have people that'll say certain contextual things in comics, and it's like, what are you even saying? That doesn't even make any sense. You go to the actual panel, let's post a panel of Batman doing whatever, and then they'll be like, he did this. Cool. Got any fault? Like, why? Why? People just go, nope, this is automatic. Fucking hell, dude. Like, that's what's crazy about some of these people that don't like some of the people that we follow. It's like, wait a minute, you don't buy this stuff. I just have to ask you, why do you care that hard? Mm-hmm. You know, that's all I ask. It's if you don't buy the material, it has no bearing on your life whatsoever. You have not put in any financial interest. I understand putting financial interest in it and you like it, and that's a different story. I can fully understand that.
Sure. Yeah.
But there's people out there that, like you said before, that's like less than 5% of people, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. That's what. So, you know, I'm doing this indie comic thing, and the thing is there is a group of guys that have an indie book out here in my hometown. And I got excited when I heard that there were some local guys putting out an indie book. And I went down to my local shop, which had it on the shelf, and I spent $15 on, and I keep it right here on this desk to remind me of what not to do in my comics. Because this is DEI garbage from the first freaking page. And it drove me crazy saying, wait a minute, some guys in my hometown did what I would love to see everyone that has this dream, this drive, to get their own book and put it in our local comic book shop. And it opens with a fucking speech on diversity in comics being the most important thing in the world to the, and I was like, no, absolutely not. I'm gonna make my own book. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna have a lot of action. I'm gonna have aliens, and I'm gonna have dudes with guns, and I'm gonna have, you know, cool fight scenes and swords and all kinds of stuff. And I'm not gonna say a damn thing about my politics. I'm just going to put a story out there. And when I get, when I get this book back from the printers, I'm going to go down to my local comic shop and I'm going to get it put up on the shelf there. And if, you know, for those watching or, you know, catching the replay or whatever, if you look on my campaign, I have a retail pack where you buy five books and you get one free. So it's $100, tier that I have on the campaign. And what we talk about on the show that I'm on is get those retail tiers. Yes, I get it. It's $100. If you, you know, I mean, that's, I'm asking a lot or whatever. Keep the copy that you want to keep. Keep two copies, you know, whatever. Go to your local comic book shop and try and get it on the shelf. That's going to be the easiest way to get these books on the shelves in our local comic shops and to really kind of challenge the system, you know? And if your shop is an asshole and is like, I don't do that kind of stuff, you know what? That's fine. Sell it on eBay. You know, the secondary market usually will make you a little bit of money or whatever. But the I think they kept taking spaces, occupying spaces that were otherwise non-political, and then they made them political. So we got to take them back. And I think one of the best ways to do that is find whatever indie comic that you're into, see if they have a retail pack, because usually you'll get a better deal on a retail pack
for sure, know,
per,
yeah,
per book. Mm-hmm. And then get that retail pack, go to your local comic shop and get it on the shelf. And do that as many times as you can afford to do.
And the other thing I'll mention here is your story. What is your indie comic book, actually?
It is called Nano 13. Okay. And the premise of the story is 3,000 years ago, an alien race called the Zerus enslaved mankind. And now a group of nano-powered heroes who are former slaves have well, I totally screwed up my elevator pitch. I've been saying it so much. Anyways,
that's okay.
A group of freedom fighters who have found themselves with nanotech powers now have the ability to take their planet back. So they're going to take the fight to the aliens. And we're going to, it's a very, I have the tagline, the age of the tactical hero has arrived. You know, it's very much a, it's following a fire team. You know, you're going to follow four, the lead team of Dano 13, the lead team of four. And, you know, you're going to see them kind of learning their powers. They've only gotten their powers recently. And then we're going to drop hints along the way, to tell their origin story. I'll never tell their origin story in a linear fashion. We're going to get it old school Wolverine pre House of M style, you know, where you get those little puzzle pieces and use the reader. Get to put it together. And also, I like to leave a little bit for the reader's imagination as well. So if there are gaps that, you know, maybe you don't think get filled in, I want the reader to kind of, you know, run wild with it. Because I also grew up around the Star Wars fandom. And, you know, that was really what a lot of the Star Wars fandom was about. Was those gaps in between things, you know, the fans really got to fill that in and flesh it out. So if you like a lot of action, if you like watching aliens get their asses kicked, and you like cool tactical gear, futuristic stories, and gingers, my the lead guy of the team, he's a ginger. I've been told that there's a ginger side, so we're bringing gingers back.
That's true. That's true. And I'm gonna go over your campaign right now. And if you guys are listening to this on like the podcasting platforms or watch this on a replay, if you're watching ever visually and you do want to go and support Nano 13, please do. Always appreciate it. And if you can't financially, it's fine. Always, if you are following, you know, Chris, give a retweet. You know, that's always very, very helpful as well. Mm-hmm. give me.
Yeah, at Chris Faction on Twix.
Give me 1 second right here. I was this freaking viral video of a monkey doing something. What the hell?
Oh my well, God. You know, that's actually what the internet was made for. Monkeys and cats, man.
You're on to something there. You are on to something there. Cat videos. All right, so this is your Twitter right here. Okay. And where is your campaign link?
You know what? I probably should have put it in the because I don't know. I probably should have.
I thought it was in your bio, actually.
I probably should have done that. Let me run over here and I'll throw the link in the private chat here. Came unprepared.
No problem. Right.
There we go.
Yeah, because, man, I don't know how your days are usually going, but, man, things are pretty tough some days, I'll say. Life is getting more crazier every day.
Well, I literally came from my show straight over to your show. It's just been like, go, 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 go.
I can see why people get, like, burned out to a certain extent because, you know. So much stuff that goes on with all this, actually, you know. People are understanding, even after this show, going over to my Friday Banger show, actually. You know, it's a show we do it for, like, you know. I always try to keep the show, like, capped out, you know. I always try to keep it to, like, a minimal of, like, a certain time limit. But, you know, the conversation is flowing pretty good. I don't like being the guy that's like, oh, we got to, you know, wrap up here. It's, you know. I like a good conversation. Like, you try to get enough clippable, you know, points out so you can maybe make a few, like, YouTube videos out of it, you know? That's kind of what I want to move into eventually is, you know, doing that a lot more consistently, which is putting out, like, let's say we talk about whatever topic here, randomly clip it out, put it up. It's much more easier getting content done, like, doing this compared to, like, just booting up a computer, getting your mic ready, getting the internet tabs open, talking what you want to talk about, intros, editing. Well, a lot of it can be solved by, you know, doing it here, actually. All right, let's go to Fund My Comic, actually, which is done by Mr. Luke Stone. Awesome guy. You know, he created a great platform. So people wanted to just do indie comics here, you know, because everyone kept talking about, like, Indiegogo and Kickstarter shadow banning them. Well, it's like, took this guy to freaking come and be like, hey, we need our own website. He's been
such a help. Such a help. I mean, not just with Fund My Comic, like, he's helped me personally, you know, just giving me advice and things like that, you know. I love Luke so much. He's the best.
Let's do dang it. All right, let's go. Here, if you guys are watching live, here you are. This is Nano 13. No, I don't want your cookies. Fuck you and your cookies. I like chocolate chip cookies, actually. Those are the best. It's my personal opinion. Lord. All right, so here we go. Oh, my. You're doing pretty good, man. You're almost there, actually.
Almost. Almost.
That's about what? Like, about... That's, like, probably about... Give or take which camp... They're probably doing the... You sold out on the original art. That's good.
Oh, that was shit. Actually... That was actually the first thing that sold. It surprised the hell out of me. I was like, wait. What?
All right, so here is the cover art for Nano 13. Looks pretty good. Like the image of what the villain could be right there in the background. Has this nice, you know, sci-fi, ominous feeling to it. I like it. Futuristic looking, you know, suits they have, guns, swords. I think you got some pretty good, pretty good idea here, actually.
Yeah, it's, like I said, a lot of action, a lot of fun. We got cool, you know, insectoid-type aliens. We got cool, cool powers. It's all tech-based stuff, and it's an ever-expanding world and universe. Like, I have multiple titles planned, and backers bless me. You know, we're gonna go hard. Like, we're gonna expand this thing way out there, and just, you know, like, I mean, to the moon.
And what I like that you did here is like you just have the book here. And there's so many campaigns cluttered with stuff, you know, like shirts, t-shirts, stickers, trading cards. No, just get the book, maybe a digital tier, and then whatever little extra shit you want to throw in there. But like the reason why people are coming here is for the book. They're not coming here for your goddamn t-shirts, you know, your trading cards, whatever, you know, like no one's coming here for that.
And that's why I think like what you were talking about, having a website is important, you know, and I want to get there because I, you know, things like t-shirts and trading cards and extras like that. I think that should be the stuff that you know, you throw on the website. Now I understand, you know, things like stretch goals and, you know, like it's the incentives to, you know, keep that funding number going up and everything. And, I get it, but you know, I think a lot of people do throw a lot of extra. I mean, honestly, this is my first campaign, so I kept it basic. Like, all I have is the book. You know, if we do reach $5,000, I will announce a stretch goal. It's something that we're working on. And it's actually something that is handmade, so it takes a lot of time. And, you know, so that's why I haven't, like, just jumped out. You know, and been like, oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Congrats. You're almost there.
Getting there, man. Yep. Getting there. So close. Goodness
gracious. You know, someone like Luke coming around doing this means a lot because, you know, it only took one man to be like, hey, we need our own platform for this stuff, you know? Oh, God. Yeah. A few other things I'll ask you before we head out because I know it's probably a little late on Texas' side right now. Which is, got any other big plans for yourself coming up this year outside of like when the comic fulfills and everything?
So, I did promise Eric July that for inspiring me, for really inspiring me to say, you know what, I'm tired of sitting on a story and not doing anything with it. I'm actually going to get it out into the world. So I told Eric July that I will personally put my book in his hands, not as a solicitation or anything like that, but as a thank you for inspiring me to actually create this book and make it happen. And I'm going to do that at Fan Expo this June. You know, and I, like, to me, it is literally like, I'm not, you know, I'm sure there's people out there. Oh, you're just a rip a simp or whatever. Nah, man. Like, I'm literally like, I watched him put his own life savings into making his dream come true. And it inspired me to do the exact same thing, albeit on a lot smaller scale, but, you know, and I super appreciate that, you know? And so I'm going to do that. Other than that, you know, like we're going to get started on issue 2 in May. We're going to start the art, in May. That's the plan. And just keep going from there. I've got a lot more stories to write, you know, and I'm, you know, just dive right in.
Yeah. I'd love to hear it, man. And the indie comic scene is a crazy place. Let's just say that, guys. It's a jungle. Let's just.
Yeah,
you know, as you guys know, there's plenty of good content coming out, and man, all of this comic book content that I'm going to be coming out with, oh my god, you guys ain't seen nothing yet. Now, okay, I want to ask you this because you're a comic fan. When people do comic reviews, do you like it when someone is like flipping through the pages of the book, like, you know, how they're like sitting down and flipping through the pages of the book, like this, or do you like it if they did it just like what we're doing here? From what I've been seeing through like views, a lot of people just basically want you to sit there. You have to have your camera there. I want you to flip through the actual book.
So I think my preferred method of comic book reviews is camera down on the book.
Yes.
And going page by page.
That's what I mean. Yeah. A lot of people like that.
Okay. Yeah. Because here's why. One, I want to get a clear picture of the art and the lettering. And because if you're doing a review, like, you know, especially if you're doing a very in-depth review, then you're going to be talking about, you know, where the word bubbles are. You're going to be talking about, you know, each panel individually. And I think being able to have a clear shot of that is really important when it comes to review. Believe me, I would absolutely love to be able to just sit here and be like, and
yeah, I know. That's what you're saying. Because to the viewer, this is how I would see it as a viewer. I think this is why a lot of people like them like that. It's because it gives you a visual sense of like what the book looks like front to back, side to side, art. Because like a lot of people do that with a lot of product reviews, is they'll just basically, you'll see no face and they'll just do their reviews like that. Okay, that's something that I can incorporate into doing the comic reviews. I think I have a comic book series idea where it's going to allow me to do that. Because I think the individual like clipped out videos, I'll just do them like this because that's what people know me for. But I think for this new series, I'm going to do it like the way you said.
Yeah, I think that's
that's the series, because I was even like smaller channels, like way lower people that no one's going to even know. I was looking at the videos and I'm going, oh, because I even have to change up my thumbnail styles of comic books. Like whenever I get into like a new lane of doing content for a subject that I like, there's like different thumbnail styles people will like. There's like different ways you title the videos that people like. It's a lot of learning. I love it. And I absolutely enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and the last thing I'll ask you, man, is there any shout outs you want to give to anyone in particular and anything else you want to say before we head out?
Yeah, man, I'm going to shout out my own show every Friday night at 9 Eastern and on down through the time zones. But yeah, it's called The Friday Nights. That's K-N-I-G-H-T-S. And you can find that over on Mad Ruth's channel. My co-hosts are Mad Ruth and Jason Sandberg. You can check out their books, Soltak and Jupiter. Just come watch our show sometime, you know? And that's about it. You know, check out my book. If you like sci-fi, you're going to like this book. So I promise to deliver on time.
Yeah, and those guys you talked about, I know them. I had a Soltak, Mad Ruth. I've had Mad Ruth on before. Love to have him on for again. Love talking to him. Jupiter, I don't think his DMs are on, so I can't really DM him actually. But I would love to talk to that guy actually.
Yeah. I'll tell him to hit you up.
Yeah,
for sure.
And as we wrap it up here, guys, thank you for coming on, man. Anyone who's watched, because a lot of people choose to watch through Twitter now. I have no clue why this show's been blowing up on Twitter. But I do want to say, if you are watching on Twitter, or if you're watching on Twitch, watching on Rumble, thank you so much for giving me your time. You don't have to give me your time, but I thank you for doing it all the while. I hope you got a worthwhile show while you were here. And there's plenty of content coming out, and we're going to be heading out of here. But there'll be a if you're watching this live right now, there'll be another show in like literally like 5 minutes. But if you are just only watching here my show for one-on-ones, then we'll see you guys later on. Peace out, everybody. Deuces. Goodbye.